The coming-of-age film Cold November opens in Minnesota theaters starting tonight. The film is written and directed by Minnesota native Carl Jacob, who was born in Virginia, Minnesota. The film, shot in Hibbing, featured an entirely Minnesota cast and crew, and Carl joins us now by phone on the way to the range. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Carl.
Howdy. How's it going?
Oh, fantastic. You know, it's Friday, and it's sunny out, so everybody's in a good mood.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful weather to drive through. We started our journey in Queens, New York this morning, my 20-month-old and I, and we've been on a car, an airplane, a train, and a car, frantically trying to make it to Hibbing. We were supposed to fly out yesterday, but that nor'easter grounded us for a day. So thankfully, we're going to make it just in time for the Q&A that I have to do in Hibbing tonight. So I'm excited. I'm excited. First, I was thinking we were going to miss it, but we're going to make it.
Wow, Carl. So we could do an interview just about your day, it sounds like. But
yeah, well, let's focus on the movie. That was the dramatic recap of my day.
Well, thank you. Safe travels, and thanks so much for making time for us here on the Roadhouse. So on your way to Hibbing, premiering tonight, Cold November is the film, a Minnesota film, and the basic premise is a young girl's first deer hunt, but there's bigger messages inside. And if you could just tell us what led you to direct and write this movie.
Yeah, okay. So the film is about a 12-year-old girl being raised by a group of women who's taken through the rite of passage of killing a deer for the first time. And it's an intensely personal story. It's part of a collection of films. This is the second. I intend to make a third. Each film focusing intensely on the culture of northern Minnesota. I went through this process myself when I was young, when I was about Florence's age, who's the protagonist of the film. And my mentors in hunting were women, my mother and my aunt. And I just thought it would be a compelling story that no one had really heard before to sort of create this work of fiction that is basically an amalgam of both my story and stories that my mom told me about her first time deer hunting and growing up in Minnesota. And basically it's a work of fiction that's compiled stories from myself and my family members that really, I think, does justice to the culture of northern Minnesota, which is an underrepresented culture in cinema. So it just kind of made sense. You know, they always say, write what you know. So I'm doing that until I don't know anything more and have nothing more to say.
Well, and so it sounds like you've got a trilogy planned. Your first film, Pollywogs, and now Cold November. Is there a tie-in between all three of these?
Right now, the tie-in is only location and culture specific. So the tie-in is that all three films have to be shot in the same exact location. So, and the first two movies actually share a single shot where you can match the two films and see the same shot with each protagonist from each movie. But yeah, the idea is that binds them together is less about story and more about the culture and the location.
Okay, and it just happens to be Hibbing, Minnesota, a place you grew up in. And so you had this unique, intimate knowledge of the landscape and the filming on location was, I guess I understand, was on your family's hunting land?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you filmed during the hunting season. You mean a very realistic touch to the setting.
Yeah, so we got a grant from the Jerome Foundation early on, which was our seed money. A great arts organization that gives grants to filmmakers in Minnesota and New York. And one of the things that I used to describe the film when I was first sort of conceiving of it, this was before I finished the script, was that it would be hybrid in nature, meaning that it's kind of a cross between documentary and fiction. Though we have a script and we're sticking to it very, very detailed. Following on this one. The first film was a little looser. This one was really sticking to the script. We are shooting during deer hunting season on my family's hunting land. So there was hunting going on all around us. All the cast and crew had to wear orange, you know, as per the rules in laws in the state. But I also wanted the film to have an extremely realistic natural feel, and the only way to do that was to use real deer in the movie. So I didn't want to kill animals for the movie because that seemed senseless and didn't make sense to me. The only way to do that was to be near the hunting parties while they were actually going through their process of hunting. So my mom was the person who ended up shooting the deer that we use in the movie. But yeah, it was very stressful because I didn't even know if we were going to get any deer. I didn't know if the movie was going to be able to finish because we just didn't know. Like the previous 2 years, my family was kind of skunked. Like they didn't get any deer. And I think part of me believes that shooting the film there and sort of telling the story was a good luck charm because they filled out that year, I believe, which was 2015. And my mom ended up shooting the deer that's in the movie, which is perfect because, you know, it's basically, you know, partially her story. So I was really happy that it happened that way.
Yeah, it looks like it's set in modern times, yet it has very historical roots and kind of take us inside the story of the rite of passage for your protagonist.
Yeah, it definitely has a timeless feel to it, despite being set now. And there's really not a lot of indicators. There's not a lot of technology in the movie. I think there's one scene briefly where you see a laptop in the background, but really it could kind of be plucked out of, you know, any time in the past 60 years, probably. So, I mean, I guess there are certain things that the actress says that might be contemporary, but I'd like to think that it's a pretty timeless story. But yeah, in terms of the sort of intense historical nature of rite of passage, I mean, that's obviously a giant, really important theme in the film to me. I think that it seems to me when I travel and when I was traveling specifically with my wife to Indonesia during our honeymoon, we learned a lot about the cultures of Indonesia. Indonesia is a big country. They speak 350 different languages. There's 17,000 islands, and it's sort of this crazy place with all these diverse cultures. And one of the unifying things that I noticed, both in Indonesia and then later sort of around the world, was this importance put on the rite of passage becoming an adult when you're about 11 or 12 years old. And I thought, oh, wow, I went through my own rite of passage in America at that same age. And then I started researching it more and found that this is sort of an inherent thing in humans, that around the age of 11 or 12, in a lot of cultures, there's this rite of passage that sort of symbolizes to you, you know, becoming an adult. And usually those rites of passage include death, some more intense than others, where like kids are beaten until they feel like they've died and then are given a mask and become adults that way. But in my case, you know, I had to kill this animal. So I do think that there's definitely a deep, you know, several thousand year old historical thread that hopefully is breaking through in a modern American way. No one's really asked that question, but yeah, that's kind of been, it's kind of my thesis when I was writing the movie. Interestingly, I am a vegetarian and so is the cinematographer now.
But you had the same experience growing up. You were taught how to hunt and you made your first kill and you felt like a man.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a real profound change that happens when you have to, you know, take an animal's life, and understanding that at the time, like it was, you know, one of our primary sources of food too. So, you know, just making that whole connection, like the old, Circle of Life theme song from The Lion King, you know, just sort of knowing your place in the food chain and the importance of that. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting themes that touch on that we touch on in the film, and it's not just a movie about deer hunting. I think that no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, that especially if you live in northern Minnesota, this is a movie that you really shouldn't miss. You know, I've had people from all different cultural, historical, political backgrounds really respond to the film positively. And I've even had, whenever I think it's fun that whenever I show it to vegans, you know, people who are intensely like against, you know, the killing of animals and animal cruelty, still walk away with the room from the movie thinking, oh, wow, this is interesting. This is kind of, you know, challenging the notions of what I thought eating meat was. So, yeah, I think it's a great movie. And despite the fact that I made it, I probably would still be a fan of it, even if it wasn't mine. So I guess that's a good sign.
Well, and you're not the only one, Carl. You've had excellent reviews. You've actually picked up a prize, it looks like, down at the Indy Memphis Film Festival.
Yeah, Indy Memphis. We took the top prize there, the Grand Jury Prize for the best narrative feature in the festival, which was a lot of fun. You know, it's always fun for me to be at the center of attention, even if it was for one night. It was great. I was the belle of the ball.
Well, and I think you're headed towards another big night on your way to the Range and the premiere in the home where this film was shot, Cold November, shot in Hibbing. It's going to be debuting tonight at the Man Hibbing Cinema.
Yeah.
And have you guys got the red carpet all rolled out and planned? And will the like cast be there as well?
You know, I guess I'll find out if there's a red carpet. I don't know yet. In terms of the cast, Bijou, who is the lead actress, was originally scheduled to be there, but she got cast in something down in Minneapolis. So unfortunately, she's not going to be able to make it to the Range screenings. But she will be at the screenings in Minneapolis. That start next weekend. Hey, buddy, you okay? Sorry, it's my son.
Yeah,
because he's looking for attention. He's had a long day. The fact that he's putting up with this much travel has been really impressive.
Oh, you guys are both saints for doing this, Carl. Don't worry about it. I'm speaking with Carl Jacob. He's a Minnesota film writer and director, premiering his film Cold November tonight across the Iron Range. It's got some showings in Hibbing. I think Grand Rapids is featuring it as well. And then you're headed down to the Twin Cities for a nice tour. And
Hibbing and Grand Rapids. We start our week run tonight. I will be hosting the screening in Hibbing this evening, the 7 o'clock and 9:20 screenings. I'll do a Q&A after the 7 o'clock, and then I'll introduce the 9 o'clock screening. And then we're having a little party at the Crown Ballroom in downtown Hibbing, starting at around 9 o'clock. And I think going probably till midnight or something. I'm not sure when we're closing that one down. And then I will be appearing in Grand Rapids at the same two screenings tomorrow on Saturday.
Right on, Carl. You got a busy weekend. It sounds like you got a busy car there, too. So I'm gonna just cut this a little short. I think it would be best to let you go. But I just want to congratulate you on this film, Cold November. I can hardly wait to see it.
Oh, thanks, man. What screening do you think you'll be able to make it out to?
You know, I might have to wait for Netflix. I'll be honest. I haven't been to a movie theater for about 25 years.
Okay. So it's going to be online, available online starting May 22nd. But I think you can order like pre-sales of it starting next month, like April 22nd, something like that. So at the end of April, you should be able to pre-order it, and you should do that. I think the best way to get it will be at Vimeo on demand and iTunes at first, because you know there are different windows of release that the film goes through. So the first window is that it goes to like iTunes and Vimeo and a couple of other places where you purchase it in advance, and then it'll come out on Netflix, that kind of thing, later in the summer. So if you want to see it sooner than later, you'll have to go to Vimeo or iTunes, I think.
Nice, nice. Thanks, yeah. Carl. Oh, you know what? If you wouldn't mind answering the quick question about the Minnesota cast and sort of what it took to assemble that, is there a nice crop of Minnesota actors to choose from? Or were these like, I understand you involved a lot of just locals, like for the authenticity.
Yeah. Well, at first, you know, whenever you're putting a movie together, it helps to have movie stars in your movie, right? So we were in conversations with some actors who have bigger names and are on television shows and things like that. And there were some interested people. But then I was simultaneously doing auditions in Minneapolis and St. Paul, you know, and there's there's a huge pool of really talented actors in the Twin Cities, and it became very clear that the only way to really get the authenticity that I was looking for in the movie was to cast local people, because that way, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about, you know, the details of how people talk or you know, mannerisms and sort of things that are, you know, instinctively Minnesotan. We're just in the actors, and especially Bijou, the lead actress. I mean, she was 10 years old when I cast her, and we rehearsed for 8 months because, you know, she's the lead, and I wanted to make sure that we had a shorthand of how to, you know, pull everything off while we were on set, and that there was no second guessing about anything. And, you know, I put her through some pretty intense things for, she was 11 when we shot. So as an 11-year-old, you know, she was, who lives in St. Paul, it was a lot of intense work that she had to do in order to pull this role off. So, I mean, her performance alone is a reason to go watch the movie. The cinematography is also amazing. That's the one crew member who's not a Minnesotan was the cinematographer, and I just had to work with him because he's so good, and he's a good friend, and he did the first film in the trilogy with me, too. So, you know, I wanted the films to all have a similar look, and for that reason, I work with Ben. His name is Benjamin Kosulke. He's a great friend, a really tall man, with lots of hair, and just a cool guy to work with. But yeah, Minnesota talent. Took a long time to find the right people, just because I wanted it to be the best people and the people who are right for the role. But yeah, we held auditions over the course of I think 3 months. And yeah, it was the hardest to find the lead role because there were a lot of young actresses interested, but as soon as I sent the script out, their parents, basically 80% of the actors who were originally interested, their parents vetoed it immediately after reading the script because, you know, it's pretty intense material. Like Bijou, you know, has to handle a deer in the movie. And
sure.
Realistic. Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. It had to be a very mature 11-year-old to pull that off. So.
Well, congrats, Carl Jacob. Thanks for keeping it local. Cold November is the film. It's premiering tonight on the Iron Range in Hibbing and Grand Rapids, and then making his way down to the big city of Minneapolis. And lots of information online. Just punch in Cold November and see it when you can. Thank you, Carl Jacob.
Thank you. Yeah, we have our website is coldnovemberfilm.com, and you can see everything there. And if you become an Uber fan, we also have hats available that are just like the hats we wear in the movie, that are blaze orange. You know, I guess winter's leaving soon, but you can pick one up for the fall and look trendy and support the arts while doing it.
All right, Carl. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome, man. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.